Stream's all set? All right. Well, welcome. It's good to see everybody this morning. It's good to gather together. I'm just excited. We have visitors from Alaska. How you doing, Danny? I'm sorry. All right. Well, good to have you with us this morning. For those online, Danny Nelson is with us this morning. He has been working in Alaska for, several years and is home visiting family. And I didn't realize he was home, and so I picked him out and got all excited. Couple of things we need to take care of. If you get the newspaper from Friday, June the 24th, it looks just like this and has a wonderful picture of the prom court from Triway. The difficulty is Luke Kaufman is in that picture, and he graduated 4 years ago. So we're not exactly sure what happened, but Luke is not still at Triway. He's a senior at Malone College, and we're excited about that. I've been paying way too much for him to go to Triway. But it is a very good picture. We're excited about that, and the other folks that are there with him. Oh, that's great. That is great. We'll put that on the altar. That needs to go before the Lord. A couple of things then, as we're looking forward and moving forward. Remember, Senior High Week of Camp starts this afternoon. They'll be headed down to camp. Camp is up and running. Things are going well there. A little bit limited. You can't get off and walk the trails that are there because there's like 5 million trees that are down. But you are able to get up Vesper Hill in the main area where 100% of everything is going to take place now is available. The trees have been removed from that were down or unsafe around all of the buildings, and so we can use the full camp and everything across the Tugin Road there. That's all cleared and that kind of a thing. So a lot of very good things are happening. We're excited about that. The camp's moving forward. We are attempting to get a group together to go down for a Saturday. We haven't picked one yet, but to go down for a Saturday with a chainsaw party and begin the process of clearing trails. No, we won't get it done on one Saturday, but we'll be further down the road than we are now. There are hundreds and hundreds of trees that have been blown down at camp. And it's going to take a while to open the trails back up. And so keep that as a matter of prayer and give some thought. If you have chainsaw, we'll travel. And keep that in mind for Camp Odioquwa. Couple of other things. We're going to have a 50th anniversary, a party for being in this building for 50 years. Hard to believe that this ship has been sailing. Woo! Always. Ship has been sailing for 50 years, and we're going to just have a big celebration for that. It will be the last Saturday of August. I believe that's August the 28th. We'll have some special things happening for the worship service. We're inviting some individuals back, previous pastors that have been part of our congregation. Our director for our denomination will actually be here to be part of that celebration. Just some neat things are starting to be pulled together for the worship service, and then we'll have a picnic afterwards and stuff going on. So it's just going to be a whole lot of fun. Just a great day to celebrate all that God is doing in our midst and remembering our history and looking to the future. Again, that August the 28th, put a big X over that day and just plan on coming and just hanging out for the day. We'll have a great time together. Okay, a couple of prayer requests. Obviously, Camp Odioquwa, Senior Week of Camp, and everything involved there. We've also been asked to pray for Dustin Getty. Okay, Reading Lips is wonderful. Dustin Getchy, I don't know exactly. There was burning some brush, and there was an explosion, and he was badly burned. He was life-flighted to Akron. If you would keep him in your prayers, he's burned. And it's just very painful. And just ask God to be there and working. We also want to keep Jeannie Helbert in our prayers. Friday, she had a stroke. They got her to the hospital quickly. They were able to give her the medicine, and she was able to come back home on Saturday. That's a really good sign. We're excited about that, but please keep Jeannie in your prayers as they kind of find out just what all is going on and what the future looks like, and continue to be with her. Also, I'm asking you to keep my parents in your prayers, Ron and Mary Kaufman. There has been such a roller coaster ride. There was the surgery for a hiatal hernia. Then we thought they found a mass that turned out to be a pool of blood. Well, they were addressing the pool of blood so that her body would absorb it. That didn't work, and now there's an infection in that pool of blood. So they put in a drain to drain it out. That's working, and things are headed the right direction. We'll find out tomorrow if her blood counts are closer to what they should be. They may send her home on some antibiotics. If not, then she'll probably have to stay at the hospital for antibiotics or something else. Pray for my mom. It's just been a roller coaster, and it's been really hard on my father. They're probably watching this, and I'll probably get yelled at, but it's okay. Be with my keep my dad in your prayers. He has stenosis of the spine and is having trouble with his left leg. It's just not doing what he tells it to. And so there's just kind of getting hit from both sides. And my baby sister, she's kind of ending up with the brunt of it. She's kind of the caretaker. I do my best from 3 hours away, but I'm not real good at it. And so keep her in prayer as she makes all those tough decisions. And I mean, I'll back her up. She's awesome, but it's just a little tough. Okay, that's enough of a downer. There are good things that are happening in our midst. There's some praises that we have. Also, just from camp and all the good things that have happened there, that it's up and running and doing very well. And so we just praise God for that. We praise God that even though Jeannie had a heart attack, things are going well and she's bouncing back from that. They were able to get the medicine and she's back home. Amy was subjected to COVID, and that's why she's at the piano with a mask on. Stay away from her. But she doesn't have any symptoms or anything like that, but wanted to keep her safe. So she's actually handcuffed by 1 foot to the piano leg. And so stay away from her. But we just praise God that she doesn't have it. She's able to be here this morning, and we'll pray for her that she doesn't get infected as well. But we continue to see God at work in our midst and continuing to do great things. And we want to celebrate all of that as we remember those struggles as well. And so let's bow our heads and let's just go to prayer this morning. Our Father and our God, you work, and we are amazed. You are a great God, and Lord, we know we fall short, but Lord, we come before you asking the impossible, and that's to forgive us of our sin, to lift us up, that we might know your love and compassion, that we might demonstrate that to a world that really needs to see you in action. And Lord, we just ask that you would come and inhabit our worship. And Lord, just lift us up from the difficult times in which we live to know that you are a God that is not only in control, but you have great things in store for us for all eternity. And Lord, we're excited about that, and we want to be part of what you're doing. We want to be used by you. So we ask that you would come and draw close and help us out and help us to understand and know what your will is, that we can follow you. And Lord, it's just awesome to be in your will, to be where you would want us to be, and that's just fantastic. And this morning we ask you to be with those folks that we've mentioned. And Lord, Dustin is in the hospital with burns, and Lord, it's just horrible. And we ask that your hand of healing would be upon him. And we just ask for miracles. And we trust you, God. And do a work there. We praise you for Jeannie and her dedication to you. And we know of that. And Lord, she had the stroke, but they were able to give her the medicine. And Lord, we just ask that you would complete that healing. And Lord, that good things would continue to be in store for her. And Lord, just watch over her and Ben. And be with my parents. I just give it all to you and ask that your will be done. And I can truly put a period there. They know you as Lord and Savior. So eternity is a fix. It's just working through the struggles here upon this earth. And we just ask that you would be there and working and be with my little sister. Touch her as well. Be with Kathy. And Lord, just be with us as we join together one with another, that we can lift your name high, that the rocks would not need cry out, that we would join together and build one another up, that we would be there in the difficult times to support one another, that, Lord, you would be praised and the world would see the difference that you've made in our hearts and be drawn to you. So just continue to be with and walk with us. Be with us this day. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and welcome one another to our service. Would encourage you to shake hands, bump fists, tap elbows, or just say hi.
Our first song is We Bring the Sacrifice of Praise, and it's going to go into He Has Made Me Glad. So number 213 and 214 in your hymnals, if you so follow along. Amy.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you sacrifices of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
You may be seated. Our scripture is Psalm 90. Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place through all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. May God add his blessings to the reading of his precious word.
Hi, if the kids want to come on down. All right. Well, how you doing today? Is this a good day? You know, one of the things that I love is spaghetti. Do you guys like spaghetti?
Yeah.
No, you don't like spaghetti?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Everybody else does. It's okay. But spaghetti is, I call it the equalizer. Because when you eat spaghetti, you is who you is. Because with spaghetti, if you cut it all up, that's fine. And you can eat it that way. You can leave it long and twirl it on your fork and eat it that way. You can actually put it in a bowl and slurp it, but I didn't suggest that. You can eat spaghetti. And when you do, who you are really comes out. My mother-in-law used to eat spaghetti, and when she would eat spaghetti, she invariably got it all over herself. She loved spaghetti. And in the eating of it, in the joy of eating spaghetti, she always got some on her shirt. Now, I've been told that the reason that pastors wear ties is so that they can wipe their mouth and get the spaghetti off the sides. Now, my wife, she would actually think that I do that. But you see, when we eat spaghetti and we get something on us, whether it's on our tie or on our shirt, we get a stain. So, how do you get a stain out? What do you have to do?
Wash it?
You have to wash it. I did that. I put it through the washing machine, and guess what happened when it was all done? I still had a spaghetti stain. I had to get rid of it because Lynn was going to come home. So what else do you do besides wash it? Throw it away. I was afraid my wife would notice, and believe me, that came across my mind. Well, I decided I would get, you know, they have little sticks that are stain fighters, and I put some of that on it. Then I turned it over, and she has some liquid stuff to get stains out, and I put that on the other side, and I scrubbed it real hard. I got a brush. I mean, I did everything. This stain had no hope. And I put it in the washer, and I washed it a second time. I'll fix that stain. When it came out, guess what? There's a little stain still on my shirt. So I thought, I've got an idea. I'll go and have it dry cleaned, because dry cleaners can get out anything. And I took it to the dry cleaner. And when it came back, do you know what was there? A little stain on my shirt. Couldn't get the stain out no matter what I tried. So I took a pair of scissors and cut the stain out. No, but that thought occurred to me too. One of the things that we say in Christianity is when we do something that's not good, when we do something that's disobedient, we do something that God tells us we shouldn't do, that we get a little stain on our heart. You know, the truth of the matter is we get a little stain on our heart. No matter what we do, we can't get it out. We can try everything there is, but it's still there. See, there's only one way to get a stain out of our heart, and that's to ask God. Yeah, because of Jesus. Good job. Way to go. And Jesus can get rid of that stain in our heart. He's better than Tide Ultra. He's better than Shout It Out. He's better than anything that there is and makes dry cleaners look just sad. Because Jesus comes and he washes that sin out. And then it's gone. So let's bow our heads and thank God that he washes us clean. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for washing us clean, because, yeah, sometimes we're not the best, and we need you to get the stain out. Lord, we don't like regular stains either, and Lord, we wish that we could just pray them out, but we know that you can clean our hearts, and that's just so awesome. Clean our hearts and make us perfect before you. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you can go ahead and go. Those benches are awesome. As we continue with our worship this morning, we'll receive our offering as soon as the aisle is clear. Our ushers would please come forward. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father and our God, you are awesome. And Lord, you stand beside us even in the most difficult times, and we give you thanks. And Lord, we want to follow your word as you've taught us to give a portion of our increase back to you. And Lord, we want to do that. We want to follow you, and we want you to understand that we love you, and we want graciousness and gratitude to be part of our daily function. And Lord, just help us to willingly and diligently give to you and to the furthering of your kingdom. Lord, we also ask for wisdom for our leadership, that this offering, that Lord, it would be used for the furthering of your kingdom, both here and abroad. And grant us your wisdom, assist us every step along the way. And Lord, may your blessing be upon each person gathered here and upon this offering. For this we give you thanks. Amen.
And now, the latest releases from Day Wind's contemporary.
Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted, they're carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. Like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember, when you walk, sometimes you fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely, it's steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus and live. When the love spills over and music fills the night, and you can't contain the joy, your joy inside, then dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus and live. With your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye, and go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus and live. Fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus and
The 90th Psalm is kind of a neat thing. We've been kind of looking at Psalms for the past, I don't know, 5 weeks. We started out in Psalms 1, taught us that we need to have our faith watered in every season. And then we turned to Psalm 23, and it's God's promised provision no matter what season in life we find ourselves. And Psalm 78, it's kind of the season for child raising, grandchildren raising those who will come after us. Then last week, Psalm 122 for seeking God in the thin places, and today. Oh, and then 96, which is the season for singing. And thank you, John, for that song. And you almost a lot going on. Needed that, thank you. Today is the song, Psalm of Moses. And Moses is kind of an interesting character. There's probably a reason why, in a lot of ways, Moses is the subject or content of a lot of movies that we have, because it's kind of a troubled, difficult life. I mean, he was born at a time when Pharaoh was trying to cut down the population and the strength of the Hebrew people. So he said, "Look, if a baby boy is born, kill it. If a baby girl is born, let it live. Yay, women's lib." First time around there in the nation of Egypt. And so he was born at that time, and his mom kept him quiet, but you know, you can only do that about so long. And so they decided that they would put the baby in a basket and cover it with pitch so it would float. And they waited for the queen, the princess to come out, basically to the place where she bathed there in the Nile, and they set it up so that Moses would kind of drift in close, and she would hear Moses crying and be moved to compassion, which is exactly what happened. And she took Moses in to be part of that inner circle in Pharaoh's house. And she said, "Well, you know what? We need to have someone nurse this child so it would grow up strong." And so they actually picked Moses' mother to be that individual. And so Moses' mother actually got to raise him up to accountability age, up through the years, those early years, and established that Jewish foundation underneath all that he was being taught by Pharaoh. Kind of cool. And things went and things moved forward, and wow, this is just great movie stuff. This stuff will fill a box office. You know, theaters will be pumped to the gills. Then we know he grew up in the house of Pharaoh and was doing all the Pharaoh-y stuff. And he was very intelligent, knew multiple languages, would have been taught everything from basic architecture and math and everything up through. He would have been the brilliant of the brilliant as he went through, and he would have had high standards that he would have had to reach and to be part of. And he did that. And finally, he got to the place where those things he was taught in his early childhood, the element that he was a Hebrew, that he was an Israelite, that he was actually born a slave, and now he was at the opposite end of the spectrum, and that began to kind of pull together inside of him, and he was having trouble putting this all together. And in that struggle, he saw one of his fellow Hebrew slaves being mistreated, and he went to their rescue. And oftentimes when passion really takes a hold of us, sometimes we go a little over the top. And Moses went over the top, and he killed a guard that was beating the slave. And he knew what the punishment for that was. So he split and took off into the desert. Now, the neat thing about Moses is kind of one of this 40 years. So we know that Moses was about 40 when this happened. Anybody in here about 40? Yeah, no one's going to raise their hand. Okay, I should have known that. But at 40, we're still young enough to be young and spunky. We're not old geezer yet. I know I'm playing softball at 40. I could play softball pretty much full force. Now, not so much. But then it was a whole different story, and you're still got some pep and vinegar as part of who you are, and it's a good thing. It's a great time to live. And so at 40, his passion overtook him. He killed the guard, and he went out into the desert to escape Pharaoh and what was going to happen. Then the next section starts, and he spends 40 years tending sheep. I don't know about you. Talk about anticlimactic. I mean, there he is, Pharaoh. He was Pharaoh's kid. I mean, he had it all going on. And then he became a shepherd. That's important. Got to count the sheep. Yep, still got them all. Well, should count the sheep again. Still got them all. Boy, this shepherding. Could count them in three different languages. You know, that was 40 years he did that. Now, I'm not 80. I'm just kind of halfway in between 40 and 60. I'd have 20 more years. In that time, his Hebrew roots, those things that he was taught as a child, began to be part of who he was more and more. And he began to seek out the God that loved him, began to desire a closer relationship. 40 years. I love God. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I love God. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I mean, he was a shepherd. 40 years. And then all at once, he looks up on the mountain that he had looked up on countless times, looking for places for his sheep to graze and be protected, to be safe so that he could count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And come up with the same number. But he looked up on the mountain and there was a bush that was burning. Now, it wasn't uncommon for bushes to catch on fire. They've done some research. They've been out in the deserts, I don't know, with nothing else to do. I don't know, maybe they were counting the sheep and they paid attention. Because from time to time, there's an oil that certain plants make and it gets on their leaves. And the sun gets so hot that sometimes it gets refracted and gets hotter and it starts a fire and the oil burns off. And that oil burning off consumes the tree and on we go. So a bush catching on fire wasn't weird. What was weird is that this bush caught on fire and didn't go out. Now, I don't know how long it was burning before Moses went, this is too long. There's something going on here. So Moses climbs up the mountain to find out what's going on, and he gets up there and finds out that it's a bush that's not being consumed by fire. And when he realizes that, all of his scientific training from being in Pharaoh's court, and his mind was probably running 1,000 miles an hour, and a voice says, Moses, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. In so many words, I am the God you're seeking. It's time for us to have a powwow. One thing leads to another, and he's sent back to Egypt by God to let the Israelites, or to lead them out of slavery. He does that. He leads them to to the promised land. They say, no, I mean, it's parting the Red Sea, it's protection, it's the plagues, it's all of that stuff happens in the final 40 years of Moses' life. And when he gets towards the end, he writes this psalm. And so I wanted to say all that to kind of give us a little backdrop of Moses. He's 40 years as Pharaoh, 40 years as a shepherd, and he's somewhere in the 40 years of leading God's people, and he sits down to write a psalm. And this psalm is directed right at us. And I think it just comes in and it just plays out right before us. And so I'm going to walk through it because it's really cool. Now, my loving wife is going to go from one slide to the next, so I'm going to have to let her know when that's going to happen because we are in the midst of the great clicker mystery. For a week and a half, awesome. Now the fun part. I wonder if it works. We'll find out. So when I walk through this psalm, because there's a huge amount of information. Now my clock that's right here on the front pew says that it's 20 after. We're going to be late. We're going to do my best to get through this. But there's really good information that's here that we needed to get here so that we could get the good information. Okay, so God is great. Now, the word for God is here, it's Adonai. And Adonai is a Hebrew word that means ruler. Now, there's also Elohim, and that's when you see the word Lord printed in capital letters. And then there's Yahweh, and that's when Moses said, who do I say that you are? Who do I say sent me? And Yahweh is the name that reminded them that he was the God who made a covenant with them. So Adonai, Lord our King, you have been our refuge in every generation. God is great. Now, he goes to kind of explain that a little more, and this would be really cool if it did something. Oh, there we go. It means God is our refuge, our fortress, the one who protects us from our enemies. God loves us, and he is the one that takes us in, especially when life becomes difficult. He is our refuge. We can go there and rest. He also says that he is our creator in the second verse. Before the mountains were born, you gave birth to the earth. God created this world and he put us in it. So if he created this world to put us in, then he knows that the world was created in order to meet the needs that we have. And as such, we can be here and flourish. We have God's permission to be here. Isn't that great? I don't need anybody else's permission. God said I'm allowed to be here. Okay, maybe I just party more than everybody else. Give me an excuse. Okay, then he says, and I clicked it too quick or clicked two. Go back to he is forever. Can you get that one? He is forever. God is great. He is forever. Yes, he is our forever. From eternity to eternity, you are God, in the second verse. Moses grew up around greatness. He grew up in the house of Egypt. His adopted grandfather, the Pharaoh, was a great man. His first 40 years in the palace. And staff bowed to Moses and told Moses that he was great. After 40 days on Mount Sinai, Moses learned who was really great and who wasn't. 90 days after leaving Egypt, the Israelites arrived at Mount Sinai. God summoned Moses to the mountaintop. Picture this. God summons Moses to the mountaintop. God summons Arnie Kaufman to the mountaintop. God summons Carol Rood to the mountaintop. God summons, put your name in there, to the mountaintop. Whew. And they go up on the mountaintop to come into contact with God. I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little nervous when God says, come on up. Matter of fact, he wanted all of the nation of Israel to come in contact with him, but they said, you are too great. You are too awesome. We would be obliterated in your presence. We're not going to do that. So we're going to send Moses up there and see if he survives. And so Moses goes up, and God shakes the mountain like thunder. God passes across in front of Moses with fire. I mean, whoa! All of this so that we might know our God is great. Now, there's kind of a play here, because if God is great, then that means that we are not. And he goes right into that in verses 3 through 6. He talks about that we're frail, that we're beaten down, that we're just not, weathering the storm really isn't a big deal. You know, a couple of trees just take us all out. I mean, it's just one of those things. We need to understand that we are frail. But not only are we frail, he then goes on in verse 7 and 8 and says, we are fallen. And I double-clicked it again, but that's okay, Lynn. We are fallen. It means that we fall short. God sets the bar here, and we're somewhere down here trying to get there. And we need to acknowledge that we're fallen and in need of the forgiveness of God. And then he says we're finite in verses 9 and 10. And for 40 years, Moses lived with the Egyptians. 40 years, he worked as a shepherd. And God is great, and we are not. God is great, and we are finite. Time doesn't age him, and we age overnight. Can't you imagine taking out a piece of candy that's been 8, 10, 20 years old? In the garbage. We're in that state, but God loves us nonetheless. You see, what it comes down to is the fact that, now we're back up with the slides, we need perspective. In verses 11 and 12, verse 12, help me see my life in the way it really is and what it was meant for, so that I can live the life you intended me to have. It's wisdom. We need perspective. And once we get perspective, we ought to be able to acknowledge that it's God that can make a difference. And since he can really help us, we need to not only ask him or include him in the little things, but in the big things of life. And in that final paragraph, final five verses of this song, Moses prays about the big things. Now, before we walk down through the five big things that Moses prays for, we need to understand it's not that we shouldn't pray for the little things. It's just in our nature for us to do that. But we need to kind of grow a little bit and understand we can pray about the big things because God answers prayer. I don't know, but do you remember what it was like here in the sanctuary about 8 years ago? And we would invite all of the kids down for the children's sermon, and sometimes we would have one. And we prayed. And we asked other people in the congregation to pray. And I don't know why it all happened the way that it did, but what a wonderful blessing that we have that there are kids that are here. God hears our prayers and answers even the big things, as well as the little things that we pray for. So let's look at the five big prayers that Moses kind of walks through in this little section. Okay, these five verses. In verse 13, he asked for to turn and have compassion on me. Now, this is probably the most important prayer that you could ever pray. And we really need to pray this first, so that we can be able to hear the God that loves us. Have compassion on us. We're frail. We're not strong. We're finite, which means we don't last long. We're fallen, which means we've done a lot of things that are wrong. And all of those things sit before God, and they have to be dealt with. So when a friend of yours, a spouse, a child, does something to wrong, you have two choices. You can make them pay, or you can forgive them. Now, it's a quandary, because there are those times when if we don't make them pay, then they don't understand there's consequences of our actions. And I think there's a lot of that that happens in the world in which we live, and there's no consequences for our actions, and so they grow up, and they're not expecting consequences to their actions, and so they just do whatever comes to their mind because they've been taught that there's no consequences. So we got to be careful about that so that we teach our children and one another there are consequences. I remember a number of years ago before I came a pastor, I was a youth director at the church I grew up in, and one of our kids was having some problems with mom and dad, and on a specific Sunday morning I said, hey, let's go get ice cream, which it's really hard to convince a teenager to go get ice cream. Before we went out to get ice cream, she walked in front of a window at the church, and when she did, her tummy was oddly shaped. So when we went out for ice cream, I asked her if she was pregnant. And she said, yes. And she said she felt horrible about it. And that I said, have you talked to God? And she said, no. And so we talked to God, and she asked for forgiveness for the actions that she'd done. And she promised to change her ways and to do things different. And we just had a wonderful little time at McDonald's eating a little ice cream cone on a Sunday afternoon. But I'll never forget the question she asked just before we left. She said, Pastor, am I still pregnant? I said, yeah. She said, but I told God I'm sorry. This is going to ruin my life. There are consequences for our actions. Now, God can use even those consequences for good, and I think a lot of good has come to that young girl in the past 30 years or so. She's a grandma. She's doing a good job of it. But there are consequences for sin. We need to be careful that grace is applied, but there's also consequences for our actions. And we have to struggle with this tension. Because I know as a dad, sometimes my kids got away with stuff. And it was the right thing. There are other times when it was not the right thing, and they were punished. And no, we don't like to talk about those things. But that relationship has to be there. That relationship has to be part of who we are. Otherwise, we grow up and we think that there's not consequences for our sin. And because of that, our image of God is really messed up. And it's really hard to get back on track. Our biggest prayer is that God would have compassion on us. And the second thing that he says to us is it's for God's love and joy to come to them. Verse 14, your love and your joy. The New Testament, there's four words for love. Not going to get into all of that. The one I want to talk about is agape. Agape love. It's that love that's all-encompassed. It's love that's not deserved. It's love that is given regardless of whether you deserve it or not. It's just pure, unadulterated love. Now, in the Old Testament, obviously, they didn't use Greek. They used Hebrew. And in Hebrew, that same word genre is a word called hesed. Now, often we don't hear a lot about hesed, but it's that same dynamic only in the Old Testament. A young boy was trying to understand what the word agape, the word hesed, meant. And the pastor, the Sunday school teacher, was working with him, and his forehead wrinkled, and he got real intense, and he said, "So, it's kind of like if my mom gives me a slice of bread with butter on it, she loves me. But if she agapes me or she hesed's me, she puts jelly on it too." And I think it helps us to get the concept that love and joy given to us changes our state of being to the point where joy and love can be fully understood within us, and that love and joy bubbles up to the surface and gets on those individuals that come close to us. And what I found in my own walk is that as I allow that love and joy to bubble up within me, then those that are around me get a little bit of that, and it makes them want some themselves. Great evangelistic tool. Love with butter and jelly. Love to the fullest extent. Big prayer number three is to make up for the pain of my past. We pray and we say, "God, I've been through some tough times. And allow me to know your hesed love. Help me to understand who you are to the point that it makes up for the struggles in my life. I want to be close enough and understand your hesed love to the point that the struggles of this earth seem to fade away. Make up for the pain of my past. Assist me that I might know true joy even in the midst. That regardless of what's happening in and around my life, your love and joy can be seen in my heart." And then number four, to pray to let us see how you're at work. One of the funnest things as a pastor is to see God working in the lives of y'all. It's hard to see God working in my own life. I mean, I know that He is, and I know there's things going on, and we're working on stuff. But it's much easier for me to see when God touches somebody in the congregation. When God's hesed love descends on somebody and the joy flows up from within, and they just sit there because they understand, they have that love. And then we get to see God work. We get to be the benefactors of going, "Yeah, that's a God thing. Isn't that cool? Isn't that awesome?" To see how God is making a difference. Let your work be seen in your servants. Then verse 17, to make something significant from my life. I think that's the hardest one to really pray and mean it. Lord, make something significant from my life. You notice it doesn't say in my life. This isn't a prayer for me. It's from my life. So allow me to just hang out with you. Allow me the privilege of being with you. And Lord, at some point, at some time, allow others to see that relationship that we have. I don't need credit. I just need to know that you're going to use all of that to make a difference. And that's enough. So have something significant from my life that my willingness to allow you to be God and for me to not be God, and that dynamic within my life to change to the point that there's impact because of it. Let something significant come from my life. Establish the work of our hands. I think these five prayers are big prayers. They're some heavy hitters that have come through this. And I think Moses is at the end in the final section of his life. He's acknowledging that God's in charge and he's just not. And he really leading all of these people was just beyond his ability. And he said, "You are God, and I'm not." And I get that. But God, I need you to do something. And this is what he prayed for the nation of Israel. And this is what I pray for each and every one of us. That these five things, these five big prayers, would be part of living our lives. That we would be not only in a right relationship, but a good relationship. That we would understand who God is and that we're not him, but that he loves us. To know his hesed love and joy that comes from that relationship. That God will stand with us through the difficult times. That we can see his hand at work around us so that he can use us to make a difference, something significant for my legacy, for my hard work, for what God is asking of me, that there would be changed lives as a result. Are we willing to do just that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are a great and gracious God, and I just want to love you more. I want to be able to love in such a way that it's contagious. That the world would see the difference that you've made. And Lord, that we would all be drawn to you. And Lord, we would make a difference and do the hard work so that we would understand your scripture and your word, that it would change who we are on the inside. And Lord, that it would be able to be seen in the world around us. Let us know your hesed love and a joy that knows no bounds, that work within us would be able to be seen and others would be drawn to you. Not that we need to credit, but Lord, that you would use us to make a difference. And we just want that. We want this for us individually and for our church. Help us to join together as one to make that difference so that the world would see that and be drawn to you. Watch over us, Lord. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I invite you to stand and please join me in our closing hymn, "Be Thou My Vision," number 562 in your hymnal. Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me, say that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man.
hands empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, bright heaven's sun. Heart of thy own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
As we go from this place, may our relationship with God continue to grow, that the world would see the difference that He has made in us, that they might be drawn to Him. Because in doing so, this earth, this world, will be changed forever. Amen.